Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the future stars of wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. And Joe, it's a big next couple of days going into this Saturday's showdown with the big old hog there.
Yeah, I guess so. You could say they're keeping their final guys under wraps because I still have no knowledge of the four matches we have. Kenny hits me up. Hey, who am I working? I don't know. Sorbody. Hey, what's going on with the scramble? I don't know.
Oh, shit.
But, you know, me being me, I secured other people.
Just in case.
Just in case. Former No Limits champion, Jay Vidal, has been added to the show.
Nice. Nice.
All the way from Florida, Richard Adonis, former future legend wrestler, has been added to the show.
Wow.
So, right. You know, there's a possibility that we're going to have an opener of a special attraction match of Jay Vidal versus Richard Adonis.
Which actually is not a shabby matchup for.
So I'm making sure it's going to be an awesome show.
Yeah.
You know, I just woke up and I saw somebody purchased 7 general admission tickets and somebody brought 2 front rows. So it was nice to wake up to 9 tickets being sold because I'll be honest with you, the tickets are not moving the way that I expected them. You know, right. I expected front row to be done with. And in all honesty, we still have, you know, a decent amount.
Yeah.
You know, being at the FSW arena, you know, there's far less, you know, there's about 20 less than at the Silverton. And to not sell out a show that's got Amazing Red versus Chris Bay, I don't know what else is going on, but man, you know, I would have thought this would be, you know, our hottest ticket outside the Silverton in a very long time.
It seems like there's a lot going on the 17th, from what I've, you know, just noticed, for whatever reason, which is, you know, obviously we always have things going on, but it just seems like there are tons and tons of concerts and events and everything going on. And it's also the first weekend back from the, you know, or the first weekend since schools started again this week. So it's a
you think the parents want to get the hell out of the house, how to deal with the kids for the week.
Right. Yeah. It's a very interesting, dynamic. And like you said, I mean, yeah, Chris Bay, Amazing Red, and you can't deny that Danny versus Santana is a huge match as well. And you got the Unguided. So you're talking local fans, get to see the Unguided together against a very good tag team in the main event.
You know, and Matt and Damian Drake, they've been clicking as singles wrestlers. They have the pedigree as former tag champions, you know. And again, their run kind of ended prematurely, and a lot of people were very disappointed. And right. The couple times that they've gotten together, most notably at the FSW GCW 2 show with Bodie, you know, universally praised as, you know, the best match of an A show. You know, yeah. It wasn't, you know, a Future Shock. It was Joey Janela and Hammerstone, which was great. And there was a lot of good things that happened on that show. And that one was, man, what a 6-man tag it was. So, you know, it's gotten kind of weird at the FSW arena that even when we do draw very well, like we've drawn pretty well the last couple shows, a lot of those tickets were sold the day of.
Sure.
It's weird, you know, using the Eventbrite or telling people to go through Venmo, you know, for a very long time, you know, 75% of the crowd showed up the day of.
Yeah.
Then it became 75% bought their tickets in advance. And then you get, you know, the old school Jamie and Fred, you know, they're always paying cash at the door. You know, you know that. But now all of a sudden it's kind of reverse track again, where people are using their cards or whatever, and they're buying them the day up. So it's a weird dynamic, and it's a hard dynamic because you're so used to knowing that okay, we're kind of set, and hopefully we'll get a trickle. Now it's like, oh shit, we need a good amount of people in here to get some of that money back. You know, this is an expensive school show.
Yeah. It's an intercontinental school show, to be honest, right?
Yeah, it really is, because it is the cost of a casino show minus using Silverton's venue and paying their price.
Yeah. What right now? You know, obviously, you said, you know, kind of. Not set on a couple things. Are there any other things set in stone that you know of?
Well, we got the four matches. Kenny, I had penciled in a singles match. Shogun was penciled in a singles match. And then we were looking at a scramble, and that was going to fill out the card. Bodie was going to be in there. Remy Marcel was going to be in there. And possibly a Richard Adonis. Then I got word that Jay Vidal was going to be in town. And it's like, how could I have a show in Vegas? Jay Vidal's here, willing to work, and I'm not going to find a spot for the guy. It's like, so I got to figure out where we're going with it. Because that's also, hey, we got seven matches that are scheduled to be FSW House of Glory. Hey, What a way to kick it off. Just a neutral match, you know?
Yeah.
This could be the Battle of Florida with, you know, I'll call Gangrel, see if he wants to represent Jay Vidal and whatever Richard Adonis has got going on.
No women's match, right? That, because they're...
Yeah, Maserati and Diamond Virago.
Okay.
I am not aware of her. The women's champion lost her belt in House of Glory, but she, the person that beat her, is not going to be there also. So I'm guessing that Diamond Virago is a House of Glory women's wrestler.
I would imagine.
Not everybody can have a stacked roster that of like FSW that if you look at a name, I've heard of that. I'm not being facetious, you know, because, you know, outside of Vegas, maybe Shogun isn't really that well known. Remy Marcel maybe isn't that well known. But a Bodie is working GCW all the time. So I'm pretty sure people are aware of the fact that this 15, 16, now 17-year-old kid has been making waves. Maserati's been all over the place. So if you follow women's wrestling, you have to know who Maserati is.
Right.
You got to know who Danny Limelight is. You know, you got to know who Matt Vandergriff is, if you know, the New Japan followers. So again, and AAA, Damian Drake, he had a cup of coffee and worked some AAA shows. So he's another guy who may not be, you know, on the radar of people. And of course, Chris Bay. So our roster, imagine how stacked it would be if Hammerstone was available that day.
Sure.
If Gregory Sharp was available that day. If Jacob Austin Young was available that day. You know, House of Glory would have came out to Vegas to really be fucking slaughtered.
Yeah. I think the... It's a shame because I think Greatness and Tenacious would have pushed you guys over and
put us right over the top. You know, they would have took out the so-called main event. They would have been the main event of the pre-show.
Maybe that's is that the route now? You need to change their change the moniker of Greatness and Tenacious to the pre-show main.
There you go.
So as far as you know, you look at everything coming together, obviously it's, you know, it always comes quicker than it feels. It feels like you got tons of time, and then all of a sudden it's, you know, countdown is just days away. With that being said, once this is over, are you already starting to look forward to now having to get ready and start gearing up for the next casino show? Because it's Survival of the Fittest, right?
Yeah, and that show is almost already set.
Yeah.
And September 6th, we have to figure out how we're getting a new Nevada State champion. So, we know Matt Vandergriff's in. He won a match at Future Shock. It's like, you know what? We're not going to overcomplicate things. There's only so many matches you can have on the show. Right. So Matt Vandergriff is in. One. We're going to have Cody in the tournament because of everything that happened. You can't leave him out of the tournament after stripping him, at least. Right. So he is going to go one-on-one with Clutch. So that kind of carries the Snuff and the FSW Originals.
Yeah.
That's a good match. And they have their history from the, you know, the Bonus Boys and the following, and Death Proof and the Bonus Boys. Yeah. So, you know, that's been going on for over 10 years. Jeez. And then just announced, it ain't even just announced, a Joe DeFalco podcast exclusive. Here's a match for you. Ice Williams versus Shogun.
Oh, wow.
The two former, the last two heavyweight champions.
Wow.
Are going to be in a match. Okay.
Oof.
Now, also in the tournament, don't know exactly where they're at yet, but Gregory Sharp, former Nevada State champion, holder of the case, he'll be in the tournament. Bodie Young Prodigy, he'll have a match September 6th. What I'm looking at doing, because the way it's set up, we're going to also have one triple threat match.
Okay.
Where the only one eliminated is the one who's pinned. So, for example, it might be Gregory Sharp versus Bodie versus, say, former tag champ Watson. Two men move on. Because the idea is to get to six. We want to have six. So the winner of the first singles, the winner of the second singles, we got Matt in there, that's three. Then there's the triple threat, that makes two more, is five. Now, and then there will be one more match. Because again, there's a lot of people eliminated from being in the tournament, because if you haven't won a championship in FSW, you are not eligible to be in the tournament.
So the question becomes, where does Jake sit in all of this then?
Jake is going to be unavailable.
Wow. Damn.
He's got the biggest thing to happen to him in his career that I'm not at liberty to say, because if he hasn't made the announcement, I'm not making it for him.
Sure.
So just be aware, Jacob Austin Young, in the month of September, is going to be extremely busy.
Yeah.
So that took him out. Not that he was busy the 6th, but he was not going to be in this country at Survival of the Fittest.
Right.
So that eliminated him. So the door's wide open. A guy like Juicy could be in the tournament. A guy like Graves can be in the tournament.
Wait a minute. Graves gonna drive here? Graves gonna show up? Come on now.
All Graves is waiting for is the Joe DeFalco phone call. When do you think Graves has ever turned down an opportunity to wrestle for FSW?
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's kind of hard to get Graves off the couch sometimes.
I'm telling you, when I need Graves, hey, I got something going on. That guy's been there. When you've seen him sporadically in FSW, it's because I specifically needed him. He was in the Rumble. He's been in a bunch of stuff. Just sometimes it's hard to pinpoint matches and things for him that work. Right. And being the very first Nevada State champion, former heavyweight champion, former tag team champion.
And he's got a big match coming up in Arizona with Evan Daniels.
There you go. The man who has beaten Hammerstone more than anybody in professional wrestling history.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you got Fresco. You got Braxton. Yeah. You know, I was just trying to go through the names. I hit up Brandon Gatson, bro. It's like former No Limits champion. I hit up LA Knight. He was busy. Cross, Solo Sikoa. I was even going to put Zoe Stark in the tournament. But we don't get that. We don't get that Booker T treatment where we can get some of our alumni. Shit, he don't even get alumni. He gets people that have nothing to do with Booker T school be on their show.
Yeah.
Chris Bay is going to be on the show September 6th. Okay. He's wrestling Robert Martyr.
Oh, nice. That's a good match.
That's a good match. Robert Martyr has not been a Nevada State champion or any champion. So he technically can't be in the tournament. But if Chris Bay, the Mecca Grand Champion, wins that match, maybe that's the qualifying match for the Nevada State tournament. So that alone is going to take up 2 to 3 matches at Survival of the Fittest. Because, as I said, we're looking for 6, and I just don't see a 6-way scramble.
Yeah.
In my head, I'm visioning 2 triple threat matches and then a final match. So there has to be nothing but big guns in that.
Would you possibly consider, and again, of course, it's other matches affecting it, but 3 singles matches and a triple threat, then being the final outcome.
It's tough because that would put you at 4 matches already.
Right.
And we're talking FSW heavyweight champion. We're talking, there's definitely going to be a tag match on there because on the 6th, shows you how loaded this show is going to be. We have the FSW Tag Champ Billionaire Boys Club. We have Top Contenders, the Golden Era of Dave Dutra and Wise Guy. Nice. We have the Regulators. Nice. We have Makeshift Chemistry. And we even have the Mariachis on that show.
Wow. Damn.
So there will be a tag title match at the show. And I'll tell you what I'm looking at might be a triple threat match between the Billionaire Boys Club, Makeshift Chemistry, and the Mariachis. And then a contender match, which leads to Silverton, of the Golden Era versus the Regulators, first time ever.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a very good matchup.
So it's wide open, you know. And I don't say, hey, this is wide open, but I know exactly what's happening. No, it's wide open. because it could be a tag match, which Survival of the Fittest, a tag match to me is the lesser option, just because it's just one guy, one team against one team. Survival of the Fittest. We want you to outlast things. We want it to be.
So that's, you know what, that brings me to a question. I don't think we never really talked much about, if you've done this before, have you done any tornado tags?
Don't think we've done tornado tags. I think we've done gauntlet tags.
Right.
I think, you know, Survival of the Fittest. We've done matches where they were Iron Man matches.
Right.
Survival of the Fittest. You know, that makes the gauntlet match is another option for the tag, to where four teams and luck of the draw, but the champion is always last.
Right.
They don't have to earn that spot. They're the champs.
Right.
And then there's also tag team warfare, Survivor Series style, to where it's the MK Army. I haven't even talked about them. They're probably going to be there too. I haven't even.
You gotta just make a whole tag match card, man.
You know, you got maybe. I remember Survivor Series back in the day, and when they did the tags, they did something like the MK Army, the Golden Era.
The five tag teams on one side versus five tag
teams. Yeah, three on three or four on four. But if one member of the team got eliminated, the team got eliminated. So there wasn't 147 eliminations.
Right.
I like that idea. We haven't done that ever. So yeah. You got MK Army, Billionaire Boys Club, and Dutra and Wise Guy, at least three, maybe even the young team like the Killer D's, that's four.
Sure.
And then on the other side, you got Sky High, who I didn't talk about on the sixth, former tag champs. The Regulators, Makeshift Chemistry, the Mariachis. On the heel side, there's still a Greatness and Tenacious, who I think would probably be above the Killer D's.
Right.
So, One Night Only, Hammerstone and Graves. Who's to say?
Yeah.
Like, again, it's like, oh, shit, we're 5 weeks away from that show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we haven't even really talked about September 6th, which is going to be huge.
Yeah. It's mind-boggling how, like I said, it feels like September 6th is a month away or so, and it's just a week.
Here's another matchup. I'll give you the whole card. Bateman will team up with Judah Matthew against Remy Marcel and Sugar Brown. This is not a loaded card featuring everybody's favorite local wrestlers as well as everybody else, it's like, what's Moz doing? What's Dante King doing? It's like, We pretty much got the whole lot for that show.
Is it a retirement match between Sugar and Remy and Bateman? And I mean,
Judah's been going at it with whatever combo there is. Judah's obviously come in and affected what has been going on, you know. So it's like,
man, again, you know, when you look at guys like when Judah, you forget, like when someone like him is not around, you forget how good he is. And when he comes back and he gets in the mix like this.
Who's that?
Judah.
Oh, yeah, you know, absolutely.
You just kind of... There's so much talent that when talent is away for a while and then you get it put back in the mix, you know, then that was always right. The
dude, 6'5", you know, unfortunately for us, you know, he was on a mission from the Lord and it took him away for a year and a half.
Yeah. And
you know, he had to travel to the Meccas.
And he's never been on a Mecca, has he?
He's never been on a Mecca.
But yeah, I mean, you know, you just talk up and down, like you said, just the immense amount of talent.
And he's made a major impact in three short shows.
Yeah, it's crazy, and then him and Bateman tagging together, you talk about two huge motherfuckers right there, you know?
Yeah. And you get to hear a Depeche Mode song at our show. Right. So, you know, it's an added bonus. Better than that old Rocky T Smashing Pumpkin shit.
Are we ever going to see Rocky T, you know, he's quit smoking and, you know, you see Rocky T maybe get in the mix a little bit again?
You know, he is undefeated. He has two pinfall victories in FSW. Way back when, he pinned the Big Unit.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah. How do you think, you know, with everything going on, you've got obviously your champion, you know, wrestling the House of Glory show against Santana, which is a huge profile match for Danny.
You know, it's funny. Everybody thinks that when I say Santana, they think I'm like cutting off Santana Jackson's last part of his name.
No, you know, Santana Jackson's taking on 25 Cent at Micromania coming up this week, I think. So,
oh, is that right?
Yeah, it's the battle of the 50 Cent Midget versus Santana Jackson.
He's not a midget, though.
Well, no, but apparently Micro, I'm not too sure how
they don't discriminate. They're a right. Midget wrestling company that does not discriminate against size, huh?
Inter height ratio.
Yeah.
but thinking of, you know, Danny Limelight, you know, going forward now into something like Survival of the Fittest, what does his path kind of look like? Because we know that Danny's not quiet. He'll shoot off his mouth and he'll take on anyone or anything. I mean,
there's, again, I ain't lying when I say there's so many different opportunities. Obviously, there's the path that he's been involved with Dante King. He's got a new group he's got with him. Dante's got Gypsy. They would probably need to get another person. But I'll be honest, I was talking with House of Glory, you know, and I love the idea of extending this, and maybe Santana brings in Gringo Loco and, you know, Zilla Fatu, and we do a FSW House of Glory. You know, it's funny, I always joke, you know, yesterday I went to see the Killers, okay? Yeah. And the guy didn't talk a lot, which was a little disappointing because when he talked early, it was great because he talked about how he used to be a bell guy over at the Gold Coast. And it's like, this guy is a true born and bred. He said he came here from Utah at 16, you know, Vegas guy. And a lot of the flashbacks and the pictures are old Vegas, you know? Yeah. And the weirdest thing is Brett Lauderdale from GCW. Like, I could try to get in touch with this motherfucker for 3 weeks and he'll never answer me. Then all of a sudden, I'll get a message from him and it's a picture of old Vegas with the caption, "What year?" And of course, like, this guy's either in Japan or on the way from Japan to LA. And he sends me a picture in the middle of the Killers concert. And it's a picture of old Fremont with the horseshoe and the mint. So now I'm at the concert. And what do? I go online quickly to find out when the mint closed. and it was 88. So I had to take the guess, and I put 1985, and he was like, no, 1983, which was going to be my first guess. Okay? So then I proceeded to tell him that my mother-in-law was a Keno runner at the Mint way back in the day.
Wow.
You know? And it's just funny that Brett has this nostalgia thing about Vegas, but as we progress to WrestleMania, another idea has always been Survivor Series type match. Send me some GCW guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, a Gringo Loco, an Alec Price, you know, who's on the West Coast because they're doing something.
Right.
Unfortunately, they're running the same day we're doing House of Glory. So if they were running the 16th, we might have been able to get an invasion going,
yeah,
which would have been even crazier. Like, I'm always thinking of, hey, we're doing this. Why can't we do this too?
Right.
And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. So, you know, survival of the fittest. Anything can happen. Shit, Ace Austin could be in the fucking Nevada State title.
Right. Shit. Yeah. You know, and thinking about, you know, of course, WrestleMania, you know, still we say months away, and yet at the same time we know that 5 months from now it's going to be like, oh my God, look at how close we are to the reality of this being here. Is there any thought of talks with you know, guys like Santino, you know, getting Santino Brothers involved in something, you know, talking to Joey or even talking to Kishi, since, you know, I'm sure Kishi will be around.
You know, Braxton, that crew works a lot with Booker. And right. It was like, hey, Booker wanted to talk, you know, is interested in maybe. And we're not going to rent out the Silverton to just one reality or wrestling show.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I've tried to reach out to him, and it's a struggle, man. The guy works for WWE. He's got his own company. Right. But it's like, dude, if you want to do this, you got to put 20, 30 minutes aside. Because, you know, usually it's like, it's almost like being an army general. You know, you have this map, and you got these strategic flags of what you're doing. Well, ours is like this strategic timeline. And it's like, we have it set till next June, which is the Lee's Family Forum Dollar Loan Center anniversary. And then it isn't like, well, we got no escape in January. Now, boom, we're going to make the push. Because guess what? There's WrestleMania in April, and it's in Vegas. How do we not try to make sure we got the shit lined up? So we got January. We got April. We got June. You know, April to June is 2 months.
Right.
It's going to be exactly 2 months from WrestleMania weekend, 8 weeks to the biggest show, which we're hoping it is the biggest independent wrestling show in Las Vegas history.
Right.
That's what our goal is to set out to do. Had conversations, met with people, talked with Hosey, Power Play, Sports Cards being involved, Card and Collectible Show, Thomas Day, he's renting out our arena. He's doing a two-day ska music festival.
Nice.
Taking the ring out, clearing everything out, putting the guardrails. You know, he's expecting to pack that joint.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, can we somehow incorporate that? Talked with MK. He's meeting up with, you know, the Dudleys on Monday, because CAC's in town. And can we get the Dudleys and the Hardys? Could we get the Dudleys versus somebody else? Can we get FTR versus the Hardys? Whatever is on the table. Yeah. And I don't think we're going to solidify anything till WrestleMania when it comes to the final card. Because sure. Now there's going to be guys who I got really good relationships with. A Brian Cage, a Lance Hoyt, you know, guys that I've worked with and really enjoyed working with, like like Lance Hoyt. He hits me up, hey, bro, what, you know, love to do a seminar. Hey, want to come out? Maybe we can work things out. Jay Lethal, who we've always had, even though that AEW run has been atrocious.
Right.
You know, it's like, here's a guy who had so many accolades, and he is just a forgotten member of that roster.
Right.
But Jay Lethal, seminar, on a show, like, he's one of the best wrestlers.
How about his running mate there, Double J, too? Always kind of...
Jeff, yeah, you know. Well, you know, if I'm looking for a 58-year-old, you know, I love Jeff Jarrett, you know. But there's only so many people we could put on a Mecca anniversary show because we also need to... And again, we're fortunate we have our Nick Bockwinkle Battle Royal, which right. could now be the biggest... Battle Royal in Las Vegas history, and we do 40 guys if we had to.
40?
It's a Battle Royal.
I think 50.
Could be 50. I remember SoCal did a 2-ring 100-guy Battle Royal. It might have been Bart. Bart might have did it at an AWS show back in the day. And it was like 101 or something, motherfuckers. You know, and it was just like insanity. And that's the thing, man. If you have a 50-man battle royal, that means everybody's in at the same time. So imagine 50 guys, and you got Juicy in there.
Oh, you're blowing out your ring before the rest of the show goes.
That's what I'm saying. So, but it's like we have access to almost every single wrestler in the world because most people are going to be there. Yeah. And all these other companies are going to be running at our arena. So I've looked at the roster of some of these guys, and, you know, there's people looking to bring in, like, Pentagon and Phoenix for the show. Oh, you know, our locker is going to be filled with the signatures of all these big-name guys that we've gone through the years, you know.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to be there.
Yeah.
But I've also looked and seen that everybody – and now it's Mania, so those $5,000 guys are going to drop their price because they're looking to work five shows that right. weekend. Right. Eight shows. I remember Mike Bailey posting, like, he worked, like, 10 fucking shows in 3 days or 4 days or something like
that. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, but I know Mike Bailey's going to be out there and a Trey Miguel. Like, how would I not use them?
Hey, you know, I'd still want to see my guy PCO take on one of our guys.
You know, another guy for the tournament on September 6th, the Funny Bone.
Yeah.
Ooh. Haven't seen him in a while. The crowd would probably dig it.
Ooh, PCO Funny Bone. Oh, you got my mind going. I'm going to see if Carl's going to be in for Mania weekend. Maybe we
triple threat with Nick Gage.
And the crowd gets free pizza if blood is struck.
Yeah, as long as they use the pizza cutter that PCO used to carve Funny Bone's head.
An interesting thought too. You know, between Mania and June, you probably are going to most likely also have Double or Nothing hitting, which is
perfect. That's Memorial Day, another month later.
And you're also talking, if this comes to fruition, you're going to probably have more fans here this time than they have, you know, with the decline.
They hope.
Well, because they're talking possibly that Sphere. And if they run the Sphere for that event, you know that people are going to be coming from
Fall yeah, out. Not if they're charging $400 a ticket.
I don't think they'd be able to. I don't think they'd be able to. And I think that Tony would eat costs just to run the Sphere before WWE runs the Sphere, to be honest. In fact, I think they would be possibly almost giving away tickets to make sure that place was filled, because you can't run that place and not have it absolutely packed on TV. It would be insane.
And yeah, I guess we're going to see how the dynamic looks. I know with a concert, it's going to be totally different. Like, right. UFC is going to be there, but
right
when you're doing a concert, it's very visual.
Right.
A UFC fight, you're just watching the fight.
Right.
So there's not much crazy shit they're going to be doing on the screen after the entrances.
Right. And will that be the screen? Or are we going to see the fight over the fight?
You know, and that's the thing. So
yeah.
Yeah. That's a major event for us. So we have 2 months and 1 month before this huge show we're going to do. The one thing is always making sure people know about what you're trying to do.
Right.
Now, the price I got quoted from a guy we used numerous times, Shane Strickland, I'm pretty sure isn't the same number that he told me 2 years ago, now that he's the AEW champion. But again, the relationships I have with people, who wouldn't want to see Shane Strickland versus Ricochet
sure.
as the main event of an independent wrestling show?
Well, and you know, here's the thing too, when you're talking about making it a more inclusive weekend of different types of things, honestly, if you really want to kind of strike a button that people are not really pushing with Shane, talk to Swerve about actually performing his music. Hey, you could get Chris Bay to open up for Swerve.
Oh, that might be heat. That might be heat.
You know, I don't know what the relationship is between those two companies anymore, but you know, I mean, Swerve is very, you know, he is very into, you know, what he's doing with his music. And that's something that we're not seeing for whatever reason, old boy promoting. And I think that might be an avenue to be like, well, hey, we could do something like this. And maybe that could, you know, open a door.
Well, I'll be honest with you. The conversations we've had, music has been a major talking point about including. You know, I, in my mind, was thinking, hey, what about a Fozzy concert?
Sure.
You know, but Strickland, Bay, comedy with Dolph Ziggler, you know, making it the biggest independent wrestling event in the history of, you know, Vegas, you know, then I could drop out and, you know, leave it to Joey and Rocky to, you know, my swan song. So, hey, if anybody out there wants me gone, spend some money and get me the fuck out of here.
I think that's, you know, yeah, that's
you got to have them both ways. It was people would pay money because they loved Conor McGregor or Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah,
those are the two big names. But there were so many people who paid money because they hated him and wanted to see him get the fucking knocked out.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we can do $100,000 gate, you know, that could be the swan song.
So tickets aren't $10 a piece.
Somebody could pop in as a sponsor and pay $25K.
Yeah, true.
You know. Just saying.
I don't understand why MK hasn't bought the company yet. He wants the title so bad. Why hasn't he done it?
You know, there's been conversations. The numbers weren't what we were what I was looking at.
You'd figure for a guy who's in the aerodynamic field, he'd be better with numbers, right?
You know, you got to also be really ready. Like, I'll listen to numbers, but that number's probably way, way higher at this point. Now, when the lease expires, since we just signed the new one for 3 years, hey, make me an offer I can't refuse, you know?
So basically, tape library to WWE does it at that point.
You know, I'm still waiting on that call. You know, we got a lot of Solo Sikoa.
That Sepha stuff is going to be really actually.
We got LA Knight footage. We got Cross footage. We got Zoe stuff, footage.
Yeah, that Solo stuff, though. Oof. You might be sitting on something there.
You know, who's not going to want to see Solo Sikoa take on Spider Warrior? Come on. That alone could put me into retirement, the footage for that match. Or when he went handicap match against the Faction.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as we move forward, watching Rikishi give the stink face to Sally against Graves and the Hammerstone turn.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of great moments. Or when he came and wrestled Chris Bay and the new Faction came out and attacked.
Yeah. Yeah, there's, I mean, you talk about, and is it just not crazy that, you know, that kid is now wrestling his cousin, you know, on the biggest fucking stage on the planet.
Main event.
It's fucking unreal. It's unreal.
Yeah.
But, you know,
and he's still the guy that when we put up the Wall of Fame and I hit him up, that he took time out to do a, you know, 90-second promo.
Yeah.
And, you know, he said some very, very nice things, you know. Yeah. He could have did the generic, hey, great, blah, 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 blah. But, no, you know, by name, he specifically pointed out and gave thanks. And I get it now. He's not in a position to do that because we try to hit him up for the Hall of Fame. But I think with the character, they ain't going to want to see something leaked of him being, you know, nice to people.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there is some kayfabe still going on in the world of wrestling for
just a little bit.
And you know, and it's remarkable too, that, you know, to see him succeed, but to see the other guys. Sepha opened that door for the other three to come in. Essentially, his success, the way he's handled himself, the way he's come, I think, open that door for those.
Well, I think the others got in first.
What, the guys with him now? No, I'm talking about...
Oh, I thought you were talking about the FSW crew.
No, I'm talking about, like, you know, a door opening because...
Yeah, they hot-shotted, you know, in the past, a Jacob Fatu might have had to go through the system.
Right.
Instead of...
Trusting in what they
right,
saw.
But I think they knew all along, because when Reigns was leaving and Sepha was going to do what he was going to do, they felt that that was the perfect time that they can, I wouldn't say hotshot faces people didn't know, because automatically they're put in a top position. You know, it's kind of watching Zilla Fatu on the Independence when, you know, NJ would talk to him at the reality of wrestling when he was a student or whatever. And what they're looking for compared to what they're looking for. And if you remember with Zilla, he had some kind of falling out with Booker T. It was weird. The guy was a student and they had to make a press release that he was no longer part of the company. Yep. But now he's killing it in GCW, and now he's doing the reality of wrestling, and now all of a sudden his rate is similar to what Jacob Fatu was getting after he was already the MLW champion, because the bloodline now transcends everywhere.
But think about it. And this is what I mean in terms of, you know, one of the factors about training here is that, take into factor that Solo, who he is, was able to take everything that he learned here and present that as who he is to Hunter and Sean and everyone in NXT, so that when that move up happened, that respect was already there. And he went through the steps so that now guys can get hotshotted because they trust. You know, Solo basically showed, hey, this is the kind of person we can bring in. And if the rest of the guys are like that, because remember, Jacob for the longest time had a reputation that, I mean, they could have brought him in at any time, but they were kind of,
Well, he was signed to MLW, and he seemingly got out of the contract with Court a lot easier than Hammerstone. Because I remember talking with Hammerstone, and he was like, yeah, because I had heard rumors from people that even MK had said he talked to Jacob on a show 5 months before he had gotten released from MLW, claiming to have been signed. And I'm like, there's no fucking way. He's got him and Hammerstone kind of signed the same contract. And MLW is not going to just let him out. Look, they didn't let Hammerstone out. But for whatever reason, I guess they did.
Yeah.
And it was similar to Morrison. When we couldn't use him at the Mecca, he was my Mecca Grand Champion.
Right.
He was already signed. I had heard that from Cage.
Yeah.
And they were just, and they sat on him till like the next WrestleMania.
Right.
But John was doing very well for himself, sitting at home because he had to cancel his indie bookings.
Right. They did
for
the
at least 6 or 7 months.
They did the same thing. They did the same thing with AOP before they brought him in with.
Yeah, that's the rumor on that one, that they signed him and then didn't do anything until they did the final testament.
Yeah. So yeah, it's
It's nice, and that's like Tony Khan. It's nice to have that much money that you can have guys making hundreds of thousands of dollars and say, hey, you know what? You sit at home and we'll let you know when we need you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you're not that interested in when your dynamic is putting on a show and not worrying about making money or not making money, and you're a multi-millionaire, you can do whatever you want. Now, as we saw with Dixie Carter, her dad finally got tired of losing millions and millions of dollars. And what's funny is he could have did the same thing that AEW did before AEW, but he didn't want to lose that much money.
Right.
You know, Tony Khan came out swinging. You know, it was, hey, Jericho, hey, Moxley, hey, the Young Bucks, hey, Cody. All these guys, and then it would be like, hey, we're going to sign this guy, and then we're going to sign that guy, and oh, shit, look who this guy is making an appearance. And you saw, it was like you never knew who was going to show up. But now look at it, and 3, 4, 5 years later, because I guess it was around the pandemic, because I remember when Hardy was leaving.
Yeah, it was 19. Yeah.
So that was 2020, and Hardy was going to go right there. So nowadays, all of a sudden, the top row of the MGM is tarped off.
Yeah.
And they barely draw 1,000 people when they were drawing 20,000 people in Vegas. Like, Vegas was the hot spot, man. It was like, oh shit, AEW's coming. People, we succeeded because of AEW.
Right. Yeah.
And we succeeded because GCW would come to town that weekend too. Yep. This year, we made a mistake, no big deal. They didn't try that hard to be in Vegas.
No.
Because GCW will do well on its own. Obviously. Right. But when there's a big show, hey, SummerSlam, guess who's around? GCW. Sure. Hey, WrestleMania, who's around? GCW. They know how to piggyback. And for a while, they piggybacked off the AEW stuff. Yep. Shit, CM Punk's working for them. They're going to be in Chicago. You know that motherfucker Brett's running that Friday night?
Yeah.
No fucking joke. They're running that Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
And guess what? Last year, not so much.
Right. Yeah. And that's...
And it trickles down to everybody.
Right.
Because we pick off, we got our fan base, and then when we do a show with GCW, we get some of their fan base, and then AEW's here, so we went from here to here to now here. Same right. thing with FSW GCW one. Yeah. We did it on a fucking Sunday afternoon at noon, the day of SummerSlam, and we could not squeeze one more motherfucker in the arena.
Right.
Granted, it's not 1,000 people, but they also had 800 to 1,000 at the Silver Nugget the day before, and they filled us to the brim at the FSW arena,
right.
close to 300. At 12 noon on a day, a lot of people are going to SummerSlam at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. Our show right. ends, and now they're getting a fucking Uber to go over there.
Right.
These wrestling fans are what they are, fanatical.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's one thing that AEW always had over the WWE was they've had a smaller fan base, but their fan base was fanatical.
Right.
And it seems they've lost a lot over the last couple of years.
Yeah. And you know, I think I've always felt this, and I've always said that because, you know, we know so many people who work over there, and we're happy that people that we know and that we love and friends of ours are making a living and, you know, setting up their families for the, you know, for the rest of their lives. That's awesome. The biggest problem is that the guy who runs it thinks he knows a lot about wrestling booking, but the one thing that the guy doesn't know anything about is promotion. He's the worst promoter. And, you know, you said it, they're in Vegas and there's a couple digital billboards and that's it. Like, they're not running the morning shows. They're not running, you know, a wireless store. They're not making special appearances. It's like, how do people know who are casual fans and not your core fanatical base that there's something going on? You have to create a buzz and keep that buzz going and grow that audience. And that's what gets me about him is.
Well, I'm going to say, I don't think it was very necessary the first couple of years. The mistake I see is that the last couple of years he treated it as we're going to put tickets on sale. We're going to announce Double or Nothing in Vegas, and it's pretty much going to sell out. So why do you right. need to spend that money? Now, the problem becomes when your 16,000 becomes in 1 year, you go sell out, maybe there was a third, I don't know, but the next one is 7,000.
Right.
You know immediately, you know, when they were in Chicago and CM Punk was there, you know, because literally within 2 or 3 hours, not even 3 days or 3 weeks, when you announced it 2 months beforehand.
Right.
But when you announce a show in
they were selling
February,
out. Yeah.
February, say, you're going to be here in May. And in April, you've sold 4,000 tickets. Well, yep. you know, last year in April, you had 183 tickets left. Now you got 8,000 tickets left.
Yeah.
So I think that's more of the mistake. I think initially it was like, hey, we're going to sell out. You know, how much money are we going to spend? You get it. You're trying to cut down, because regardless of them selling out, I still don't believe they were making money.
Right. And but that's what I'm saying. I think that you can rely on that. That buzz happened. The core fan base became what it was. But at a certain point, there wasn't anything put into the growth. So everyone talks about the television numbers, right? Well, the reason million is a number that is a benchmark is because if you can start building over a million followers, even if you have drop-offs, you've grown from 500,000 to a million. You've grown double the fanatic base that you had. But their base has always been between 500,000 and 800,000. And that, in listening to Tony years back in these press calls that we would do, it became sounding like you believe your own bullshit hype that people around you are telling you, that your fans are telling you, that you're reading on the internet, that you're so focused on that, that you're not thinking forward. You're just thinking in the moment. And then that's what starts happening, is you're not putting anything into anything else because it organically happened and grew. And now you don't know how to promote to make it grow better. I think that Wembley is a great example. Last year, organically, boom, huge numbers, right? This year, you're doing it again for the second time. You can't just expect it to happen again. It's insanity. But I don't know, Joe. You know, it's promotion. I just don't think that the guy is a promoter. He's a rich guy who is a fantasy guy who likes what he has and has new friends.
Yeah, you know, and it's hard to argue that, because they have been successful. You know, the average person's not looking at AEW and says, yeah, they brought in 200 million, but, you know, they spent 300 million. They're a failure. They lost 100 million. People are looking at, hey, they got Chris Jericho. They got Daniel Bryan. They got this guy. They got that. They got a phenomenal roster. There's no doubt about it. Absolutely. Now, AEW grew out of Ring of Honor. Okay, WWE was here.
Right.
Ring of Honor was here if they were lucky.
Right. Yep.
AEW is here. So does that make Tony Khan not a good promoter? Or is Tony Khan a better promoter than any of the other companies? A TNA doesn't have that level. A Ring of Honor don't have that level. A New Japan doesn't have that level. Is it that maybe he thinks he's on WWE's level, and the truth is nobody is?
Well, here's a good question, though. And I think this is where Dixie made the mistake. Okay, well, let's be honest. Dixie was not a good promoter.
But they took a shot. They took the shot when they brought in Bischoff and Hogan and Sting and Jeff Hardy.
But the problem was, is essentially, would that have turned AEW tough numbers if the television contract that they had was similar to the exposure that AEW got? I think that the timing of the television contract being on TBS and TNT was huge. If they don't get that, are they in the same position? Because a lot of the promotion comes from that. If you're on Access, you're kind of fucked.
Yes, but on the other hand, the reason they got the television contract was because of their live events drawing so well that they sold out their first show without anything other than Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks.
But they got the contract. They got the television contract before that.
Not the very first show.
Well, that was
All In.
But All In, see, that's the whole thing. All In was an independently produced show.
You could say a Ring of Honor show. When did Ring of Honor ever draw 16,000?
Right. So, and that's where this gets, it gets very interesting because and I can't wait to see the history books write this. All In, Tony didn't have any actual money or presence.
No, he had nothing to do with it. Dynamics of it, it became the social media event of the year.
Which caught his eye. And from my understanding, from stories I've heard, the reason that Warner got interested wasn't necessarily, it was the idea. It was then you had a money man, and it was a lot because it was Cody, and because Cody had a name, and that was that Rhodes name. And I think
I don't know how much influence that matters.
Well, think about it though.
Cody was coming off a failed WWE. But, he did well in Ring of Honor in New Japan, but he still wasn't. If you name 20, you could name 25 WWE guys that were ahead of Cody Rhodes at that time.
Absolutely. But ironically enough, remember, the only guy at that point for that first year who had anything was Cody had a game show on TBS, and he also had the reality show. They targeted him. They targeted him because of who he was, and they knew who he was. Now, the biggest thing is that you had the money man, because the money man was able to bring in Jericho and Moxley and those guys. That sealed up when they got that into place. That now means network can sell, right? We can sell to our commercial because why? These guys are known. They're created WWE guys.
TNA had the same thing. They had Hulk Hogan.
But they were locked into that fucking contract on that whatever. They ended up on True TV for fucking forever too.
You could say whatever you want about that, but when they go to the Orleans and they can't draw 1,000 people and Hulk Hogan's doing the press conference and Pauly Cobra's there and Sting's on the show and Jeff Hardy, that's a live event, and they still couldn't draw because nobody cared.
Well, you said they got people covering it like Pauly Cobra. That's why.
Yeah, maybe. They became the darlings. AEW became the darlings. Yeah. It became the internet community got behind it. And we're going to say, hey, we're going to give an alternative to WWE.
Yep.
I don't think Tony Khan's money even mattered. It only mattered because he could keep it going and he could go out and continue. Oh, Edge is available. Hey, Christian's available. Hey, Mark Henry's available. Like, I was shocked when a Mark Henry left, but I'm pretty sure they were like, hey, go take 5 times the amount of money we're going to pay you.
Yeah,
and then when they don't want to pay you no more, come on back, just like they did. The Big Show will be the next guy to come on back.
Yeah.
Because he's done there. Yeah. You know, Edge and Christian, they'll be in the Hall of Fame. They'll be back.
Yeah.
They're wrestlers. So whatever loyalty they had when they first started, they were hired guns that worked promotions for whatever they paid to get themselves notoriety. Just like nowadays, people will work less for me because it's better than working for that company for an extra $50. That's not going to get them any exposure.
But we also have to, I think the biggest, again, the biggest change in this whole dynamic of what we're seeing is the fact that this whole creation of TKO, Endeavor is a corporate company. They see business. Having Nick Khan is a Hollywood guy. All he sees is business. Hunter is not Vince. Vince was a petty fucking asshole, right?
Hunter, yeah, but he wanted to make sure they made money.
Right. But he wanted to make sure he made money. Hunter has to make sure that TKO makes money now, or else Hunter loses his job. And just knowing from, you know, from guys, the one thing Hunter has always been respected for is that he is the guy who will talk to people and he'll treat you. You know, we just saw it with Jesse, right? Jesse Ventura. We saw it with Bruno. The only reason Bruno came back into the fold is because Hunter is the one who reached out and brought him back in and made him feel like he meant anything. And I think that,
yeah, there was a lot of never say nevers with Vince, and Bret Hart came back.
Sure.
So
sure. But at the same, you know, at the same time,
it can't, it's about the money. Honky tonk man, right? Will motherfuck you. And then, hey, here's 50,000. You want to come in? I'll be right there, Vince.
But I think it, but on a larger scope now, the door is more wide open for anyone, because you don't have anyone who's going to be grudging you, and you have people now who legitimately are afraid of losing their job. You know, before it was an independently owned company who was traded publicly. Now you got to answer to the board of directors in Endeavor. And if TKO is losing money, then people are going to lose their jobs. I think that's,
yeah, but if AOP lose their jobs, how many people are knocking down the doors?
Well, I'm not talking
about what they're getting.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about the talent. I mean, the talent will always be, you know, it's entertainment. It's always going to be a rollover of talent. I'm talking about the guys who are in the big positions, you know, the guys who are creative, the guys who are, the guys who are.
Oh, I know for a fact there's people that we have dealt with. And I remember trying to get backstage to NXT. Like, Gabe couldn't do it. And Gabe was the one who hired the extras and hit me up to get the extras.
Yeah.
Oh, I hit up Daivari, and Sean's the best. And it was like, yeah, let me send an email, because he has no idea who those people are anymore.
Yeah.
He just sends a corporate email and waits for a response.
Yep.
And can't promise anything, because now everything that used to be second nature now becomes
process.
You know, I was talking last week. Zoe and Ricochet were at the school training, and I got to see Tom. And I was talking with Tom the whole time. Obviously, they're training. So, hey, what's up, Ricochet? Hey, you taking any bookings? Hey, you know, that's about it on that conversation. I got his phone number for down the road, you know, because, again, many people don't even know when Ricochet's contract actually expires.
Right.
You know, people are like, somebody I know I'm very close to. Oh, it's at work. He's staying in WWE. It's like, dude, the contract hasn't expired. They just haven't used him. So that's why he's not been anywhere else.
Right.
So, but talking with Tom, it's like when I had mentioned the anniversary and it was like, hey, it would be nice if we can get one of the alumni. And he said she put in an email about requesting. And he goes, there's so many times that we're sitting at home and all of a sudden it's like, you need to be in Omaha tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, again, you want to talk about waste of money. It's like, oh, okay, Raw's happening. We're going to send you over there. So now what are they paying? $1,200 for that ticket instead of $400 for.
Right.
Because they decided to book it on one day's notice. And it's right. The same thing with AEW. We got Jay Lethal pulled to be at a pay-per-view that he wasn't even on. So he sat in catering. So they took away his payday. And his payday wasn't just us. His payday was some smoke fest that right. was happening in Vegas that right. they were paying him. We were going to do the seminar, and technically he's not getting paid because he gets a salary. So right. whether he's there or not, he was getting paid anyway. So they right. took away his other pay for $20 worth of food that he was going right. to get. Or, hey, Jay, you going to be in town? No, they're flying me in Wednesday for Dynamite, flying me home Thursday to fly me back Friday.
Yep. Yep.
Like, what?
Yep. There were a couple people that that we know who were going through the same thing on this last one. And we just kind of laugh. One of the funniest things is hearing, like, when guys when guys don't even know that a show happened. Like, they didn't get the communication that they didn't even know a pay-per-view was going on that weekend because they hadn't been used in a couple weeks. So they're not paying attention. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, there was a pay-per-view. Okay. So yeah, communication is interesting. And yeah,
if you're not involved, you pay no attention.
And no attention.
When Sin was in there, we were talking about stuff, and it's like, why is Santana wrestling Danny Limelight? I'm like, because it's a title versus title match. Oh, what title does he have? Oh, I don't know. Only our heavyweight champion. Oh, I didn't know. Right. So stop fucking asking. Like, you have no knowledge of anything that's happening unless you're on a show and you happen to see it. Or if you did tape study, you still have no knowledge because you're doing a million of your own things.
Right. Right.
And it's understandable. When Lance Hoyt isn't being used for 4 months and then he gets a call because they're in Dallas and they know it's a cheap, they don't have to fly him. Or he's in Dallas and they're like, hey, we need you to drive to San Antonio.
Yeah.
And what they'll do? They'll have him squash some local jobber and then give him a title match and lose to Orange Cassidy. You know,
right.
Like, they built him up because they gave him one thumping. That was like always with Brian Cage, you'd see. Like, yeah. You wouldn't see Cage for 3 months. All of a sudden, he'd like squash three people and you're like, oh, he's losing to somebody big. They're going to put him on TV again. Yeah. And then it's like, oh, Brian Cage versus Claudio. Oh, okay. Yeah, they needed a guy.
Right.
It's like, hey, look, we built up Brian Cage. He beat up three guys nobody's ever heard of, not even their family, you know?
Well, here we go. Final words going into the show this Saturday. And the show does start at 7, is that correct?
Starts at 7. We got a 2:30 seminar with Amazing Red. That'll go to about 5 o'clock. Then at about 5:45, we're going to do a meet and greet that's going to feature. It's going to be a little weirder in the arena. So what I'm thinking of is putting the table on the other side by the ramp that way, because it's going to be a limited amount, you know, of people for the meet and greet. So we'll have the main guys there. We'll have a poster that they will autograph for you, because generally they're not going to just sign things that you want them to sign.
Right.
You know, the meet and greet is getting you in early. You're going to get a beautiful poster. Everybody on the roster will sign it as long as you bring them a pen. And then, you know, generally buying merchandise is up to you. And if you buy stuff, they're probably willing to do more stuff. You know, people think that, you know, it's like at the circus that, hey, I just came to the show, take a picture with me, and you want a picture with 50 people. Well, right. When everybody wants that, then they don't make money. So, you know, be aware, you know, our non-national guys and the FSW guys are usually no problem signing a picture and taking photos and all that other stuff. It's going to be a good time. You know, it's a pretty big deal. Having Amazing Red, Santana, the main event's excellent. Yes. Really looking forward to seeing them. It's nice. Jay Vidal just happens to be coming home. You know, he said, wait a second. It's almost like the Puerto Rican Day Parade, all the Puerto Ricans, you know. maybe he's going to want to insert himself into the all Puerto Rican title match with Santana and Danny Limelight.
Yeah, seriously, right?
You know, so it's going to be a good time, a fun time. You know, I'm looking forward to the show, even though I still don't know who half the participants on their side are. But as I said, worst comes to worst, you're still going to see Jay Vidal and Richard Adonis and Kenny King and Shogun and Bodie and Remy. They're just waiting to see who they're going to fight. They might have to fight each other.
It's going to end up they're going to be wrestling Assassin 1, Assassin 2, and Assassin 3.
No, it would be, what do we call them? They would always wear the mask, and we had names for them. I forgot what we called them. But they were like basically like the conquistadors, you know? Right.
Yeah.
But hey, you might get Shogun versus Remy, a match you've never seen before.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah. Bodhi versus Shogun.
Oh, yeah. That man versus boy.
Yes.
Yeah. David and Goliath.
There you go. And then we make them, they earn respect, and then they become a tag team, and we call them Man Boy.
Man Boy.
See? Already created a new tag team right here.
Well, actually, no. Yeah. Dude, and you could sell shirts on this one. Bogun.
Too close Bogun. To bodega. You know what I mean?
Bogun versus the bodega.
You know.
Hey, you know.
Then again, you probably don't want to put man and boy in the same shirt. So forget that thought. I was thinking it was 1985. People wouldn't have went straight to the gutter that they would today. So now, no man boy, no boy man, none of that.
So,
can't believe you brought that up, Matt. That is disgusting.
You're gonna bring in Johnny Swinger for the nostalgia at the June show. You need an 80s act, man. Oh, Swinger versus Disco, bro. Book it.
Yeah, it could be. Again, everything's on the table. If your bad boys want to sponsor it, I'll give you a number, and you could sponsor the match, my friend. You could be on the marquee on the Silver Knights board.
What's the going rate for the Greatness and Tenacious sponsorship?
Everything we got to work into detail, you know, once I get the final numbers from the Dollar Loan Center and seeing what we're shooting for, you know. And that number is the highest number also in the history of independent wrestling in Vegas that we have to shoot for the break-even spot.
So. Right, right. Oh, there you go, everyone. Make sure you catch the show this Saturday.
Send those donations now. LVFutureStars@yahoo.com is the Zelle. So if you make a little note, you know, $1,000 not only gets you a sponsorship, but here's the deal. You also get 10 VIP front row tickets.
Oh, all right. All right. There we go.
So now you get on every flyer, every time the Dollar Loan Center, Lee's Family Forum puts out something on the Vegas Weekly,
yeah,
on the radio, on the marquees, you could be included. Or for $2,500, you can get the VIP suite that seats 20, and the chicken wings are on me.
Oh, all right.
And I ain't lying.
Right.
I'll even throw in the all you can eat popcorn.
But I think you just see now if the popcorn bucket had an FSW wrap around, you know, like at the movies where you get those commemorative like King Kong.
Do you think we can't make that happen?
Yeah. All right.
For an extra hunji, you get the FSW wraparound on the popcorn.
Yeah.
But I think I don't think it's like in a, you know, it ain't like when you get it at the movie theater and it says Regal. You know, I think it's one of those reusable that they stick in the dishwasher.
Right.
And then they just fill up the popcorn once it's empty.
Right.
So just saying.
I'm just saying, if I get my wrap and if I can have my man boy and get some butter sprinkled on it, we're good.
Yeah, there you go. Hit up Jay Vidal. He can help you.
All right, everybody. On that note, we will see you guys next time.